Welcome to the Orthodontics in Summary podcast, where Farouk brings you the key points and understanding of orthodontic webinars, conferences, and papers in a concise podcast with your host, Farouk Ahmed.
Hi all, welcome to this episode of Orthodontics in Summary. Today, we're having a look at Simon Little's lecture entitled Treatment Without Retainers, Madness or Innovation? Simon set the scene by describing the classic paper by Riddle and Little. They looked at patients out of retention for 10 years, and they showed that 70% of these patients required retreatment. However, it did also imply that 30% of patients didn't need to have treatment, having had no retainers for that period. They said there were no identifiable causes as to what kept certain patients' teeth straight and other people's not. So this led to a series of papers that then Simon went on to describe. Aston from 2005 was the first of these, and it was a retrospective study. Aston, in his clinical practice, had stopped using retainers, and he gave the outlook of how he carried out his clinical practice. He gave five key components to having this non-retention treatment. In his clinical management of patients, he would respect the lower arch form, making sure there's no excessive transverse changes and proclination of incisors. He would ensure that overcorrection took place, and this was then described, so it's not finishing with the rotation in the other direction. It was about overcorrecting during treatment to stretch the periodontal ligaments, then at the end of treatment, completing alignment. The fourth thing was to have a very heavy final wire, so an O2-2 slot, using a 21 by 25 stainless steel, and the concept is it's more likely to get the apex within the alveolar bone and therefore it's more stable. And the fifth thing he would do was to have a test about relapse, so 4 weeks without an arch wire to see what moved. And if something did move, he would then realign the teeth but carry out IPR in order to try and gain more stability. So what happened? Well, after 3 years, he found that there was only 1 millimeter of lower incisor relapse, and that was using Little's index of irregularity, and he deemed this not to be clinically significant. But this was a retrospective study. So Simon then went on to describe more contemporary research carried out in a randomized control format. So Tynelius in 2010 and 2013 published this famous paper. And this looked at class 1 crowding cases, ones treated in the lower arch with a retainer, bonded retainer, and in a second group with no lower retainer, but with IPR carried out. At the end of this study, after 2 years, it was found there was no difference in stability of using a lower bonded retainer versus no lower retainer and IPR. Now, in the upper arch, a recent study published by Naraghi in 2020 showed that an upper VFR versus no upper retainer should, after 1 year, no clinically significant relapse, although numerically there was, of 0.4 millimeters of relapse with a VFR and 1.3 millimeters of relapse with no retainer. Simon then went on to ask, well, what is it that's happened after we finish brace treatment? Is it relapse that occurs, or are they age-related changes? This has also been explored in the literature. A paper by Siopas in 2013. Now, they looked at a 40-year follow-up, and they found that in patients who hadn't had any orthodontic treatment, their malalignment of the lower incisors increased, but also there's a reduction in the arch length. And Abdul Rahman in 2020 looked at a 12-year follow-up study, and here they derived a tooth displacement index. And this was dividing, well, what happens after treatment, how much is age-related, and how much is orthodontic relapse. And they showed that 25% of tooth changes post-treatment occurred due to age-related causes, and 75% were orthodontic in their nature. Simon's conclusion was that this is still a controversial topic of not giving patients retainers. He still provides retainers to his patients and insists that they do wear them. However, this is a topic to explore further. Interproximal reduction does reduce the instability, but we're not quite sure why. It broadens the contact point, yes, but also there's other ideas of the excess tooth tissue being present in low incisors, and we resolve that as a consequence. I thought it was a great lecture by Simon. He's a great speaker and one that I thoroughly enjoyed. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Orthodontics in Summary. Please do subscribe. Notes are available in the description on the website www.orthoinsummary.com. Stay tuned for the next episode.